In the Bible, love is the greatest quality that you and I could ever possess. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. And over again, you and I are exhorted to obtain this quality called love. And remember, it is the highest of all qualities. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, now listen to him, the greatest of these is charity. When Paul was writing to the Colossians, in Colossians 3:14, he says this, and above all things, note that, above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. In the book of 1 Timothy, beginning in chapter 1, verse 3, Paul exhorts Timothy to fight against and to confront false teachers. But I find it interesting, as he gives that exhortation, as he sets forth that charge to Timothy, he says in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Even though we are fighting against the enemy, even though we are confronting those false teachers, we need to remember that love is still a part of that particular command. Notice also that Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Yes, charity is the supreme quality that you and I can possess. But folks, love is composed of many different elements. And if just one of those elements is missing, then love is horribly, horribly distorted. And for the next few minutes, we want to talk to you about the subject, the lost elements of love. If we lose just one element, then love is not what God desires for it to be. So let's look at some examples of that about which we speak. First, folks, without respect, love is lost. Respect involves two parts of man. Number one, it involves the heart of man. And number two, it involves the outward expression, the behaviors of man. We talk about the inward man, we're talking about having reverence and awe and fear for another individual, respect. And you see, when we have that respect and awe deep within, then that comes out in our actions, doesn't it? And it manifests itself in our treatment of other individuals. And in all of our relationships, you and I must have respect, because if there is no respect, then love is going to be lost. There are many passages of Scripture that exhort us to have honor for others. Notice Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Leviticus 19, 22, the Bible says, and honor the face of the old man. We continue, and the Bible says in John 5, verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, 10, that we are to prefer one another in honor. The Bible continues, honor widows that are widows indeed. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Honor all men. 1 Timothy 2, verse 17. Honor the king. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. And then again, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Over and over again, the Bible reminds us of just how important honor is in all of our relationships. You see, respect is a part of love. And if we don't have that respect, if we don't have honor for one another, folks, love is lost. You see, the opposite of respect is disrespect, isn't it? You see, disrespect opposes love. Look at some examples. Disrespect ignores another individual. It is disrespect that causes one to speak evil of another. Disrespect rebels against another person. Disrespect looks to harm another, and disrespect rejoices in another's demise, doesn't it? You see, if that's the kind of actions we are displaying toward others, then our respect for that individual is gone. And when we see individuals being treated in that way, there's absolutely no way that we can say that individual is being loved. And if I am treating another that way, I cannot boast that I love that other individual. Without respect, love is lost. Notice point number two. Without trust, love is unstable, isn't it? Over the course of the years when I was working with children at the children's home, I came up with a very simple definition of this word trust, and it is this: putting part or all of your care into the hands of another person. That's trust, isn't it? You see, when I put my care into the hands of another, I become a vulnerable individual. Now, I may not put all of my trust in the hands of another, but I can put part of my trust in the hands of another, and even then, I am just as vulnerable. Even then, I'm having to trust. Trust is not something that is earned, folks. Trust is something that I simply give to another person, and I can prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt. The Bible tells us that love is closely associated with trust. 1 Corinthians 13:8, charity believeth all things. We study the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 11. The Bible says this: the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She shall do him evil and are good and not evil all the days of his life. Notice, this is a woman who loves. This is a virtuous woman, a good woman. And notice, the heart of her husband, what? Trusts in her. He knows that she's always going to seek her good and never her evil every day that he lives. Without trust, though, love is extremely unstable, isn't it? You see, there's a lot of wondering in the mind of an individual when there cannot be trust of the other. When there is no trust, there are a lot of questions that are asked. Where have you been? What have you been doing? Who have you been with? You see, there's a lot of questions in those relationships. Also, there are always doubts, aren't there? You see, when there's been mistrust, when trust has been violated, the individual is given trust, the individual is allowed to leave, and yet the whole time that he's gone, the individual in their mind are wondering and doubting what that individual is up to. There are always follow-ups. There are always check-ups. There are always check-ins, aren't there? You see, when there's been a broken trust, then love is unstable. And the first thing an individual needs is that affirmation that you've been where you're supposed to be, you've been doing what you're supposed to do, you're with who you say you said you're going to be with. Also, when there is a lack of trust, there are harsh words, and oftentimes there are fights. Let me ask you something. If you were to walk into a home where they're fussing and fighting, where they're constantly asking one another questions, where there's always these doubts, when there's always these questions, when one person in the relationship is always wondering about the other, would you honestly say, oh, this is a house filled with love? Absolutely not. You see, without love or without trust, love is unstable. Thirdly, without kindness, love is unhappy, isn't it? Let's look at two verses. One of them is found in 1 Corinthians 13 again. Paul again is describing what? Charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. We turn to another book, Ephesians 4:32, and Paul writes the following: be ye kind one to another. Question: when you experience kindness, does that bring happiness and joy into your life? It does mine. And folks, it doesn't matter where we are, if we find a little bit of kindness, there's happiness there. I love to go into a restaurant and have a kind waiter or waitress, don't you? I don't want to just slopping my food down. I want somebody talking to me. I want someone to be nice to me. I want someone to do the things that I need to do to have a wonderful experience in that restaurant. Not long ago, we went on vacation. We were in Portland, Oregon. And we checked into a hotel, and there was a lady there. She was the sweetest lady in all the world. I bet if she took 5 minutes with us, she took 15 minutes with us. That's unusual, checking into a hotel, isn't it? She told us all about places to eat. She told us exactly where to go in order to get to some of the prominent sites. She told us exactly how the transportation works in the city, folks. She just took time. And it was a joyful experience. You walk away and you say, man, I need her name. I need to write a letter to tell her boss how wonderful she is. She, see, she brought happiness to the experience, didn't she? Isn't it wonderful to experience a random act of kindness? Somebody pays your bill for you. Somebody gives you a gift. Somebody takes a burden off of you that you were supposed to be involved. Folks, those are just wonderful experiences, and they make life happy. And in our relationships, one with another, you know what we need? We need just a little kindness. There was a 90-year-old man once, and he said, you know, you've been married a long time. He says, yes, 60 years I've been married. They said, what is the secret to your happiness? He says, one word, kindness. Folks, just be kind to one another. And it goes a long way. You see, without that, there's unhappiness. In fact, there are many ways we can cause individuals to be unhappy. Unjust criticism is not kind, is it? That constant nagging one another is not a kind experience. Evil, filthy, and vile words are not kind. Ignoring another individual isn't kind. Making false charges against another isn't kind. Fussing and fighting are not kind. Constantly picking out another's fault is not kind. You see, all those kind of things can even go on within congregations of the Lord's people, can't it? And folks, when those kind of things are constantly being experienced by the members, there is one thing that individuals are going to feel, and it's this: unhappiness. And there have been many individuals who have been moved away from congregations because church members do not know how to be kind to one another. Sad, isn't it? You see, love is kind, and without it, there's unhappiness. Number four, without care, love is selfish, isn't it? Without care, love is selfish. You see, part of caring, part of love is caring for the one that we love, isn't it? Look at some of the things we care about. We care about their daily activities, don't we? Isn't it wonderful after you've been gone all day, you walk into the house and your mate sees you and they say, hey, how was your day? Tell me about some things that have gone on. Tell me about the difficulties. Tell me about some people that you've talked to today. Tell me about your experiences. Tell me about how you've handled things today. You see, it's wonderful when a person cares about the kind of day that I've had. We care about their hurts, don't we? Folks, we care about their successes. We care about the struggles that they find themselves in. We care about what they care about. Has a husband ever gone to a movie that he could have cared less about, but he went because he wanted to go for his wife? I bet there's been numerous men who have gone to chick flicks who didn't want to be there. I bet there's been many a man watch a Hallmark movie who never cared whether he saw it again or not. And I bet you there have been some women who have sat in some action movies, and guess what? They did not want to be there. You see, but we do it. Why? Because we care about what the other one cares about. You see, oftentimes our care involves the service we render to another individual. Folks, the Bible tells us that love seeketh not her own. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. You see, love's not concerned about itself. Love is first concern is for the other individual. What do you need? What can I help? What can I do for you? How can I be of service to you? See, that's what love is all about. But without that kind of care, then love is just selfish. The individual is concerned about me rather than someone else. Love without care is seen in two men in the story of the Good Samaritan. Now notice I say love without care. Here's the reason I say that. If you were to ask the priest and the Levite, do you love others? What do you think they would have said? Oh boy, you know I love others. God tells me to love others. I mean, I'm a religious leader. I know what the law says, and God wants me to love just the way He loves other people, and I do that. Oh, I just love all mankind. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, leaving him half dead. Question, did this man need love? Folks, he needed love beyond measure, didn't he? Here's a man laying on the road, helpless, can do nothing for himself. He is about to die if someone does not intervene. Now remember, the priest and the Levite, had you asked them while in Jerusalem, doing their duties around the temple, do you love others? Oh, you know I do. But look what the text says. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, what did he do? He passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. I thought you loved people. Does that look like love to you? You walk by, you see a man almost dead on the side of the road, and you do nothing. And yet you walk off and you boast in your heart, oh, how I love humanity. Folks, that is not love. Oh, it's easy to love in deed. It's easy to love in tongue. But it is not easy to love in deed and in action, is it? You see, these two men were selfish, weren't they? I have no clue as to the reason why they did not stay to help. But I'll bet you one of their reasons was self-preservation, don't you? I don't want to wind up like this man, or it's going to take too much time, or it's going to take a whole lot of money to help this man, and I'm not willing to invest any of that in this man. You see, love without caring is selfish, isn't it? How about this one? Without communication, love is cold. My friends, the Bible or studies have said that communication is the lifeline of all relationships. There has to be talking. There has to be listening. There has to be that back and forth verbal communication in order for relationships to be alive. And if there isn't that, love is pretty cold, isn't it? You see, God loved man, and throughout the entirety of man's history, He has what? Communicated with him, hasn't he? In times past, he communicated through the fathers. He then communicated through the law of Moses. He communicated through the prophets of the Old Testament. Eventually, he communicated through his precious son, Jesus Christ. And today, he is still communicating, isn't it? Through the pages of his holy and divine word. You see, God cares. And he loves us. What if God said, oh, I love you, and there's no communication? Folks, that's not love. Communication needs to be many things. Open, honest, kind, mutual, and watch this, constant. Notice this next point. Communication is more listening than talking. I can prove that. You see, God gave us two ears and how many mouths? One mouth. It's more important to what? Hear than talk. One man said this. He said, and when it comes to that tongue, God tied it down in the back and put a set of teeth and two lips in front of it to shut it up. God wants us to what? God wants us to listen more than talk to one another. You see, listening for understanding is the key. Folks, I want to understand your difficulties. I want to understand your struggles. I want to understand why you think the way you think, and the only way to do that is to listen. And here's another point. Good communication takes time and effort. And folks, right there is why we don't do it. Did you know that? We don't have time, do we? If somebody stops us, and if they talk to us for 5 minutes, we feel like we are worn out. Oh, that dude just talks forever. We want about a 15-minute little talk, and then we want to run on our way because we got other things to do. We just don't have the time to sit down and talk to people. Folks, to really talk to someone can take 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, just to get down to the problems and the difficulties. And it takes a ton of effort. But without it, love is what? Love is very cold. Can you imagine a house wherein two individuals come in and never say one word one to another? How sad it would be. I love it when Glenn has to stand up here begging us to be quiet. Okay? I love his struggle, first of all. No, I'm kidding. Okay? But you see, it shows that there's some care for one another, and we're communicating with one another. And folks, that's the lifeline of a church. Watch this last one. Without purity, love is nothing more than lust, isn't it? Folks, the Bible uses two terms, love and lust, and they are distinguished one from another. Love is pure and beautiful, and lust is selfish and evil. Love expressed in the confines of a marriage relationship with all the desires that are there, folks, that is what God has given. He wants our lust. He wants our desires to be expressed in that relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. I will that every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. You see, God wants the marriage relationship to be there. What does he say in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. God is not opposed to our desires, but you see, he has put them in the right place in order for those desires to be expressed in a proper relationship with another individual. And that relationship is a man and a woman in the confines of marriage. You see, love without purity in the marriage relationship is simply lust. Folks, young people having sexual relationships outside of marriage is just lust, is it not? When we find individuals living together, but they aren't married, it's just the expression of lusts. Being involved in a relationship with another that is not approved of God is nothing but lust. Folks, homosexual relationships are lustful relationships. Adulterous relationships are lustful relationships. Relationships where an adult takes advantage of a child is a lustful relationship. Pornographic relationships are nothing but lust being expressed by mankind. You see, the only place wherein we can truly love in purity is in a marriage relationship with another individual and express those sexual desires one with another. Notice what Paul writes. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. Notice that Paul says you and I have to learn how to express our desires. We have to know how to be sanctified. We have to know how to be holy. We have to know how to be individuals who live as saints and not fulfill those lusts like the Gentiles do in the lust of concupiscence. Folks, that is the overabundant expression of their fleshly desires in unholy relationships. Love without purity is simply lust. Folks, it's a wonderful thing when love is practiced exactly how God designed for it to be practiced. But when any of the elements of love are left out, then guess what? Love becomes perverted, doesn't it? And love becomes something that God never intended for it to be. Without respect, love is lost. Without trust, love is not stable. Without kindness, love is not happy. Without caring, love is selfish. Without communication, love is cold. And without purity, love is nothing more than lust. You and I, as God's children, need to make up our minds that we're going to practice love exactly the way God demanded for it to be practiced. For you see, folks, without love, nothing else matters. Isn't that what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 1? For though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecies and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Folks, if we don't love as God has commanded us to love, we are nothing. Charity, love, the highest quality that you and I can possess, but we have to practice it the way God practices it. And aren't you glad that He loved us the way He did? Because you see, folks, without His love, not one of us could be redeemed from our transgressions. Not one of us could be saved from our sins. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. Aren't you glad? Now you and I need to avail ourselves of that love, don't we? If you're not a Christian, you can do that this morning very simply. You've heard the Word of God. You believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Die to your sins. Die to self. Submit yourself to the will of God. That's part of loving God in return, is it not? Come forth, confess His beautiful name, and then be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. The Lord will add you to His church, won't He? Maybe you're a Christian. And my friends, when it comes to the quality of love, you've not manifested it the way God wants you to manifest it. You may need to repent of that privately. You may need to repent of that publicly. Maybe there's other sin in your life. Maybe you just need the prayers of the